Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, June 19th, 2022, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 4. We are in the great parenthesis, Romans 4, verses 17 to 21. Romans chapter 4. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul. Make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, instantly restoring us to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and our spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word. That spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. I don't develop special messages for Mother's Day or Father's Day or Halloween. That's Satan's day. I teach the Word of God, word by word, verse by verse. And we are in the book of Romans on Sunday morning, and we're in chapter 4, and I go through word by word, verse by verse. And we are in Romans 4, verses 17 to 21. Now, it just turns out that this is probably the best Father's Day message that God has in His Word. I didn't plan it this way, but God did in eternity past. He knew that in 2022, Upland Bible Church, Pastor Olson would be teaching on Father's Day, and I will have him teaching the best Father's Day message in the Word of God. God did it. I couldn't have planned this out in a million years. So here you have a great Father's Day message. I'm going to give you the corrected translation of the entire parenthesis, verses 17 to 21. We won't get through the exegesis of all of it this morning, but I will give you the corrected translation. Verse 17, as it stands written, a quotation from Genesis chapter 17, verse 5, I have made you a father of many nations. Happy Father's Day to Abraham. And this is Abraham, who is a spiritually mature believer. And this, his Father's Day was a greater grace blessing package that was absolutely phenomenal. And that is what God gave to Abraham. This greater grace blessing package. I have made you a father of many nations before the Lord, whom he, Abraham, believed. Faith, rest, life. He, maximum spirituality. In the Old Testament, spirituality was the faith, rest, life. Abraham had maximum spirituality. He was a mature believer. Even God, who gave life to the sexually dead ones, both Abraham and Sarah, and has called what did not exist as now existing. Verse 18, who, Abraham, contrary to all human expectation of having children, believed, maximum faith, rest, life, maximum spirituality, on the basis of confidence. Confidence in God's promise, with the result that he became the father of many nations, according to what has been written in the past, with the result that it stands written forever, a quotation of part of Genesis 15:5, so your descendants will be. Verse 19, and without becoming weak in faith, the faith rest life, he carefully observed and was totally aware that his own body had received sexual death in the past, with the result that he is in sexual death now, when he was approximately 100 years old. Likewise, he carefully observed and was totally aware of the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, yet, because of the promise of God, and his faith rest in that promise, he absolutely did not waver or doubt because of unbelief. But he became empowered by means of the body of faith, the word of God that is in his heart, and gave glory to God. And being, verse 21, and being fully convinced, possessing total confidence, that what he, God, had promised, he also is powerful and able to accomplish. There is the great parenthesis. That is, perhaps, from the God-breathed scriptures, the greatest Father's Day message ever. So we will be in the middle of, like I said, I never plan. I just go word by word, verse by verse, and here we are. And God set it up so that here in 2022 Upland Bible Church, you would be here on Father's Day and have this God-breathed Father's Day message. We have studied verse 17. We go on with verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope. This is really cool in the Greek. Hos par elpida ep elpidi epistelsen. Now does that, I mean, that makes you just want to get up and shout, right? We have two different prepositional phrases here, but the object of the preposition is the same. We have para plus the accusative singular of elpis. And we have epi plus the dative singular of elpis. two totally different meanings. So this is really neat. And we have the relative pronoun host and the imperfect active indicative of the verb pistevo. We start out with the relative pronoun hosts. H-O-S. That's the letter H. That's the mouth breathing over the word. H-O-S. Hosts. Host means who, and it refers to Abraham, and it's Abraham as a spiritually mature believer. Abraham is a winner believer. And the Father's Day gift to him is that he will be made the father of many nations. And then we have the preposition para plus the accusative. And this is used, Arnton Gingrich, page 616. Para plus the accusative is used as an adversative. And you may translate it against hope, contrary to hope, beyond hope. Para plus the accusative singular of elpis means contrary to all human expectation of having children, beyond all hope of having children. So that's how we're going to translate this. Corrected translation, who, Abraham, contrary to all human expectation of having children, believed in hope. Pistevo is the verb to believe. P-I-S-T-E-U long O. Pistevo. Pistevo is the verb, means to believe. And here it specifically refers to faith in God's word. Faith in the promise that God gave to Abraham. So it refers here to the faith-rest life that Abraham lived, his tremendous spirituality as a spiritually mature believer. Now we have the second preposition with elpis, epi plus the dative of elpis. It was para plus the accusative. Now we have epi plus the dative. E-P-I plus the dative. Epi plus the dative of elpis means on the basis of hope, supporting itself on hope. This is confidence in God's promise. God promised Abraham that he would have children from his own body. So this is total confidence in God, confidence in the promise that God gave to Abraham. So the corrected translation, who, Abraham, contrary to all human expectation of having children, believed, maximum faith rest life, on the basis of confidence, confidence in God's promise that he would have children. All right, one. Para plus the accusative of elpis introduces a hopeless situation. Abraham is in the midst of a hopeless situation, both he and Sarah. So para plus the accusative of elpis introduces a hopeless situation. Abraham cannot have children. Two. Epi plus the dative of elpis introduces maximum confidence in God's promise that he would have children. So we have a tremendous contrast here between para plus the accusative of elpis and epi plus the dative of elpis. Para plus the accusative, the hopeless situation of Abraham's situation, not being able to have children, and epi plus the dative of elpis, Abraham has maximum confidence in God's promise that he would have children. 3. Para plus the accusative of Elpis means it is impossible for Abraham and Sarah to have children. Para plus the accusative of Elpis means it is impossible for Abraham and Sarah to have children. They have no ability to procreate. They are in the status of sexual death. We studied the doctrine of death in the Bible, 8 categories of death the last couple of weeks. And one of those categories, sexual death. 4. From the human viewpoint, Abraham's situation is hopeless. From the human viewpoint, Abraham's situation is hopeless. Abraham is 99 years old. And by the way, that's not the problem. You say, well, yeah, well, 99 years old, most people are in trouble having children. He lived to be 175. Okay? So 99 is like being 40. 40-year-olds can have children. So he's... This is not the problem. Well, he's 99. Well, he lived to be 175. Don't worry, you won't. Come on, just relax on that. So if you get to 99, you are sexually dead, and because you're 99. So Abraham's 99 years old. For 13 years, he has been in the status of sexual death. Sarah has passed the menopause. She is 90 years old. 5. Epi plus the dative of Elpis means that Abraham, as a spiritually mature believer, has maximum confidence in the promise that God gave him. Epi plus the dative of Elpis means that Abraham, as a spiritually mature believer, this is how the winner believer thinks and operates. He knows God. He knows the essence of God. He loves God. He knows the Word of God, that it's absolute truth. And he has the winner believer has not only maximum confidence in God and who and what he is, but in God's Word. What God says in His Word, He will do. And that's why the objective for you is to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you grow up and advance to spiritual maturity, you will have total confidence that what God says in His Word, He will do. And that's fantastic. That's where you all should be. That's where you all will be. If you stay positive and have humility, consistent and faithful, assembling in a sound Bible teaching church to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're here just a short time. I know when we were younger, you thought you were going to be here a long time, but now you're not younger. And now you realize we're here just a very short time. You're here today, we'll be gone tomorrow. Why are we here? As a believer in Jesus Christ, you're here to glorify God. In the short time while we're here to glorify God. You placed your faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. God the Father loved the world so much He gave His Son. He sent His eternal Son from heaven to earth on that first Christmas to take on true humanity. Why? To go to a cross. Why? To solve the world's problem of sin. God loved the whole world. Impersonal love for all. Unconditional love for the whole world. In sending His Son to go to a cross and solve the world's problem of sin, which Christ did. Jesus Christ loved the world with impersonal love for all. So much, He was willing to go to that cross. He was willing to take your sins in His body and the judgment of those sins in His body. And He did so for you. And when you realize what Jesus Christ did for you by His own free will, and then you place your faith in Jesus Christ, but you know what? You'll get to the point where you say, the Lord did all that for me. I'm going to give Him my best for Him. In the short time while I'm here, I'm going to glorify my Lord. I'm going to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all, and occupation with Jesus Christ. And then when you do that every single day that you're here on this earth, and we're not here that long, but every day you're here, every day is Christmas. That's what God wants. God wants you to have Christmas every day. Every day is Thanksgiving. God wants you to have Thanksgiving every single day. When you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you will have Christmas and Thanksgiving every single day on this earth, right here in the devil's world. Whether it's COVID or no COVID, Francis, great to see you. Whether we're in apostasy as a client nation to God, and we are in apostasy as a client nation to God, you can have Christmas and Thanksgiving every single day, and that's what God wants you to have. That's the greatest. That's His plan. He has greater grace blessings for you. Fantastic blessings. Right here in time and then on forever and ever and ever. That glorify God in eternity. So EP plus the dative of Elpis means that Abraham, as a spiritually mature believer, has maximum confidence in the promise that God gave him. Namely, that Abraham would be the father of many nations. 6. The fact that Abraham was in a totally helpless situation did not prevent him from having total confidence in God that He, God, would fulfill His promise. The fact that Abraham was in a totally hopeless situation did not prevent him from having total confidence in God that He, God, would fulfill His promise. Seven. As a spiritually mature believer, Abraham knows God. He knows the essence of God. That He's sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutability, veracity. He knows God inside and out. God is sovereign. He's the quarterback. He calls the plays. He's the potter. We're the clay. His decisions are perfect. His plans are perfect. He has a perfect plan for each one of you. And as we witness the wheels coming off the wagon in America, the apostasy of client nation USA, we know that Jesus Christ controls history. Jesus Christ controls history. In this worldwide pandemic, Jesus Christ controls history. In the apostasy of client nation USA, Jesus Christ controls history. In the satanic attack of Russia against the Ukraine, Jesus Christ controls history. And by the way, there are a lot of believers in Ukraine. And you pray for those believers. That God would put a wall of fire around those Christians in the Ukraine. And that they would be channels of God's grace and tools in His hands to proclaim establishment truth, gospel truth, doctrinal truth throughout the nation. And they've been doing that. They've been doing that with the military in the Ukraine. God is sovereign. He's righteousness and justice. He's a holy God. He's infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinitely fair with all of us. He is eternal life. He gives the gift of eternal life to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ. He is virtue love. He has impersonal love for all, which he demonstrated in Operation Grace, the cross. And he has infinite personal love, which he gives to those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. He is omniscient. He is the all-knowing God. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. Abraham has total confidence in the omnipotence of God, that he can do and fulfill this, what seems to be from the human viewpoint, a hopeless situation. He's immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's veracity. He's infinite truth. There is truth. You won't get it by watching your TV and the major news networks. There's a lot of lies and deception there. But God speaks the truth. You assemble here to learn truth, to grow up in grace and truth. There is truth. God is truth. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me." Jesus Christ is absolute truth. The Word of God is absolute truth. You can know the truth. And boy, you need to know the truth now, because all you're getting is deception and lies. So when you find a sound Bible teaching church, you need to grow up in grace and truth so you can see what's going on, properly analyze and discern the situation. 8. So in Abraham's eyes... Well, let's go back to point 7. I didn't quite give you the whole point there. As a spiritually mature believer, Abraham knows God. He knows the essence of God. And therefore, he loves God. And he has great spirituality. The spirituality in the Old Testament was faith rest. He knew God's word and he believed it. Faith in the promises and the Word of God. 8. So in Abraham's eyes, God's promise is a slam dunk. No problemo. That's not in the Greek, but it's there though. No problemo. In Abraham's eyes, God's promise is a slam dunk. 9. God and the Word of God, God's promises were more real to Abraham than his completely hopeless situation. God and the Word of God, God's promises were more real to Abraham than his completely hopeless situation. Ten. The Word of God in Abraham's heart. How does the Word of God get into your heart? You believe it. It's one thing to hear the Word of God, then it's up to you to believe it or reject it. If you reject it, the Word of God can't help you. The Bible says the Word of God is alive and powerful. powerful. Just think, you have in front of you, or looking at this Bible, it's a living book. It's alive, it's powerful. And when you believe it, it goes into your heart. And now that powerful, powerful word is in your heart. So the word of God in the heart of Abraham gave great power to Abraham's faith rest life. The word of God in Abraham's heart gave great power to Abraham's faith rest life. So the corrected translation, who, Abraham, contrary to all human expectation of having children, believed, maximum faith rest, on the basis of confidence in God's promise, that, and here's the promise now, that he might become the father of many nations. We have asta plus the infinitive of genomai plus the accusative singular of autos plus the accusative singular of pater plus the genitive plural of ethnos modified by the genitive plural of the adjective polus. Asta plus the infinitive. This is great Greek. Asta plus the infinitive. And by the way, it looks like that in the Greek and in the English. Asta plus the infinitive sometimes introduces a purpose clause, other times it introduces a result clause. In our verse, it introduces a result clause and is correctly translated with the result that. And then we have genomai. G-I-N-O-M-A-I. Genomai. And genomai means to become something. The accusative singular of autos is the accusative of general reference. That means it serves as the subject of the infinitive. Genomai, of the infinitive genomai. With the result that he, Abraham, became pater. P-A-T-long-E-R. Pater. He became father. Happy Father's Day, Abraham. He became a father, polon ethnon, of many nations. The father of the nation Israel. He became the father of the nation Israel through Sarah. Sarah means princess. Her name originally was Sarai, contentious, and God changed her name to Sarah. If your name is contentious, you'd rather be a princess. From Sarai to Sarah. She became a spiritually mature believer as well. The father of the nation Israel through Sarah, and that's the son Isaac. Their son Isaac, and the father of six Arab nations through Keturah. The six sons of Abraham and Keturah were Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shuah. And you remember Shuah because the shortest man in the Bible is from that tribe, Bildad the Shuhite. Just glad you're awake this morning. Very good. Good job. Who, Abraham, contrary to all human expectation of having children, believed, maximum faith rest life, on the basis of confidence in God's promise, with the result that he became the father of many nations. Now we have a quotation from part of Genesis 15, verse 5. So turn back to the beginning of your Bible. Genesis 15. Genesis 15. We'll start at verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. And then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And then he took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. So shall your descendants be. That's what is quoted now, that part of verse 5. According to that which was spoken. So now the quotation from this part of Genesis 15:5. We have the prepositional phrase kata plus the accusative of the articular perfect passive participle of apon. Kata plus the accusative means according to, and apon is used to introduce a quotation from the Old Testament, specifically this part of Genesis 15, verse 5. So, corrected translation, according to what has been written in the past, with the result that it stands written forever. That's the intensive perfect tense. According to what has been written in the past, with the result that it stands written forever, so shall thy seed be. This is the adverb houtos plus the future active indicative of aimi plus the nominative singular of sperma with the definite article and the genitive singular of the personal pronoun sou. Houtos looks like this in the Greek. H-O-U-T long O-S. Houtos. Houtos means in this manner, or thus, or so. And then we have sperma. S-P-E-R-M-A. Sperma. And sperma, literally, it refers to either seeds of plants or male seeds, semen. Figuratively, which is how it's used in our verse, it means descendants or children or posterity or offspring. And we have the personal pronoun sou, your offspring, your descendants. Your descendants, and then the to-be verb, aimi. So your descendants will be. All right. Now verse 18 sounds like this. Who, Abraham, contrary to all human expectation of having children, believed, maximum faith rest life, on the basis of confidence, confidence in God's promise, with the result that he became the father of many nations, according to what has been written in the past, with the result that it stands written forever, quotation from part of Genesis 15:5, so your descendants will be. All right? Principle. When you learn and believe the Word of God, it's one thing to have the Word of God in your Bible, that's great, but the important thing is to get the Word of God in your heart. When you hear it, you can either believe it or reject it. If you reject it, you have no power. There's no powerful Word of God in your heart. You believe it, now that powerful Word of God is in your heart to apply to your life. So, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart enables the spiritually mature believer to have maximum confidence in God and His Word when he faces hopeless situations or circumstances. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart enables the spiritually mature believer to have maximum confidence in God and His Word when he faces hopeless circumstances. Principle number two. God and His Word is more real to the spiritually mature believer than his hopeless circumstances. God and His Word is more real to the spiritually mature believer than his hopeless circumstances. Principle number three. When you reach spiritual maturity, that's you start out as a spiritual baby. You place your faith in Jesus Christ. At that moment, you have a spiritual birth, regeneration. You're born again. You're born once physically. You're born physically alive and spiritually dead, and you need a Savior. Somewhere down the line, you hear the good news of the gospel. You place your faith in Jesus Christ. You're born again, regeneration. But you start out as a baby. You're not born again as a spiritual adult. It's just like when you were born, you didn't come out of the womb as an adult. And the mothers say, "Thank you very much." It's tough enough when they come out 7 pounds, 8 pounds. We had a hammer thrower on our track team at Washington State University, Tony Tanisi from Italy. He was our hammer thrower. He was the biggest baby ever born in Italy. And after he came out, his mother said, "Whew." Great guy. You start out as a baby. And then you have to, well, just like babies, you have to have milk. You have to have basic doctrines of the Word of God. And you get that milk and you start to grow. And you advance from being a baby to being an adolescent believer, and you keep growing and you advance all the way to spiritual maturity. Now, all along the way, you're going to have testing, but the testing of a baby believer is pretty minimal. Adolescent believer, a little bit more. But once you reach spiritual maturity, now you have a maximum amount of God's Word in your heart. Now you have His problem-solving devices. Now the testing gets greater. Once you attain spiritual maturity, now the testing is greater. And that's where Abraham is. He has great, great testing, but he is one of the greatest believers ever in the Old Testament. In spiritual maturity, the testing gets greater and greater and challenges the believer. The challenge is, what is more real to you? God and His Word or your circumstances? So in spiritual maturity, the testing gets greater and greater and challenges the believer. What is more real to you? God and His Word or your circumstances? Your hopeless circumstances from the human viewpoint? Well, for Abraham, it was God and His Word. And he passed the test and received phenomenal greater grace blessings. His Father's Day was very special. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in about 15 for part 2.